From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What's up, good people? Welcome to Current Sports as we begin another fantastic week. It is February 17th, 2014. Hope you all had one fantastic Valentine's Day, and I hope many guys out there are in the good graces of their sweetheart. I know it was a great weekend for me, and it was, you know, great watching the All-Star game last night. We also were at the MSU and Nebraska game yesterday, and folks, man, if that wasn't a flashback, for me at least, when looking at the word focus, yes, and, you know, that's something I harped on last year when you talk about the MSU men's basketball team. There were just times where they would start games and just did not seem ready mentally. And, guys, we haven't been able to say that many times this year, but yesterday was certainly one of those times as the MSU men's basketball team just could not find a groove in any aspect of the game, whether it be rebounding, whether it be defensively, whether it be scoring-wise. I mean, it was just overall a tough loss for the Michigan State men's basketball team and, quite frankly, a wasted opportunity. As you, as we also saw before that game, the Michigan Wolverines, they had lost to Wisconsin and left the door open for the Spartans to possibly take the outright lead in the Big Ten Conference. It was all set up right on the pedestal. The plate was set. All MSU had to do was come through with the win. But easier said than done. Again, they fell to Nebraska in a game that really lacked any consistency offensively or defensively for this team. And it was a tough one to swallow, a tough one to swallow for many people. And, of course, we're going to open our phone lines for you to call in if you want to comment on the MSU men's basketball team as they have a pretty big week ahead of them as they try to rebound now. They have Purdue this Thursday, and then they will travel to the Chrysler Center to play Michigan on Sunday for the big rivalry game. Michigan, of course, now if they come off their loss to Wisconsin, they now have a week to prepare for Michigan State, while Michigan State, of course, has two games this week. So Michigan will certainly be well-rested for that game. If you want to call in and comment on this huge week for the Michigan State men's basketball team and what you saw that went wrong in yesterday's game, of course, 517-355-9527. Of course, 517-355-9527. I believe we have a caller right to start off our show. Nick, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports. Well, Justin, excuse me. Justin, how you doing?
Al Martin, what's up, buddy?
How you doing, Justin?
Hey, man, Pittsburgh's treating me well. How's Lansing treating you?
Oh, it is great. Oh, this is Justin from used to be at Channel 6, my man, my brother.
I just wanted to call into this show. I've heard you've been doing a fantastic job with it, and I wanted to call in and give a little help me out here, man. What's going on with my Spartans?
Well, I tell you what, Justin, from what I saw yesterday, you know, and this is something I've been harping on with this team, they shot way too much yesterday. When they did attack the basket, when the jump shot wasn't falling, and we saw Gary Harris one time, well, a few times, actually. Denzel Valentine tried it a few times. When they attacked the basket, Justin, they got fouled, and they went to the line and shot relatively well from the free throw line as well. I mean, they shot 12 for 14 last night. I just thought they got in desperation mode when their offense was struggling, and they got away from attacking the paint. And that's one of the points that I want to harp on for this team. And then, I mean, at a certain degree, though, Justin, looking at yesterday's game, you got to tip your hat off to Nebraska. Petway, I mean, he had some shots that were just horse shots in the backyard. I mean, they came through offensively when they needed to, and it's not like they were easy shots down the stretch. I mean, Michigan State just failed to find a groove offensively for that team, Justin. What'd you see?
You know, I saw the same thing. They were hitting those wild shots, and it seems like every year Michigan State has one of these games, whether on the road or at home, where they lose to, like, an Iowa before they were any good. Northwestern on the road when Northwestern hadn't been any good. You know, they always have one of these, you know, head scratchers where it's like the guys have to be thinking, well, we're just going to go out, play basketball, beat this team, and move on to the next thing. And then they get caught. They stub their toe. I mean, for as long as I can remember, Michigan State's had one of these type of losses every year for the past decade. I just think the biggest thing concern they have is, yes, shot selection is a big thing to do with it, but what about secondary scoring in the paint. Matt Costello, where is his offense?
Yes.
Where does it exist? You know, Ghana's not going to give you anything inside. You know Payne is going to be a go-to guy, and I like running things through Payne offensively to open up shots on the perimeter and have him go down low and do what he does. But Costello has to be more than a screen setter. He has to be more than a put-back dunker, and that's what, one every three games?
Right.
I think that in order for them to have a long and successful tournament run, Costello's got to show flashes. Not a lot. I'm not saying get a double-double, but he has to be an option, and right now he's just not, and I think that's a scary thing for them.
Yes, it is. Hey, Justin, thanks a lot for the call. Good hearing from you, brother.
Al, we'll talk soon, buddy.
Definitely. That's Justin Rose, a good friend of mine. Was actually one of my mentors when I was at before I got the job at Channel 6. But, yes, I totally agree with Justin. When you look at, you know, just the front court for this MSU men's basketball team, offensively, we know the guy who that's going to be, Adrian Payne. I mean, he's such a dominant force. He's NBA ready right now. But when you look at that secondary option down there, they really have no one. If you look at Matt Costello, I always call him, he's sort of a garbage man. He will definitely get in there and get you those chippy rebounds. He will play hard-nosed defense when need be. But as far as scoring goes and consistent scoring down low, that can be a bit absent. So that's definitely a question mark for this team. And also something I'm going to be talking with Alex when Alex Shar comes in later on in the show as we really dive in and dissect MSU's fall to Nebraska yesterday. Is that when you look at this team, when you look at just the makeup of this team and, you know, how earlier this year, Tom Izzo has said that Gary Harris has to be that guy to take over games and be the number one scoring option, that guy to give him the ball. He says, everybody get out my way. I'm about to take over and we're about to win this thing. I don't know. I'm starting to question now if Gary Harris is that type of player, seeing the slump he has had in these last few games for weeks. If you will. So I'm definitely going to be talking about that and asking you all, is Gary Harris that guy that can take over a game and say, get out my way, this is mine, does he have that type of capability? Because what I've been seeing these past few games, I don't know, there might be a question mark in my eyes. So again, call in just like Justin did and give your opinion on that game and the status of these MSU men's basketball team. 517-355-9527. Of course, again, 517-355-9527. In the meantime, folks, we have a jam-packed show for you. Let's get to our current sports quick hit headliners for this February 17th, 2014. Well, there was also another team in Michigan who fell. Michigan to Wisconsin. Frank Kaminsky had 25 points, 11 rebounds as number 21 Wisconsin smothered number 15 Michigan in the first half before holding on for a 75-62 victory on Sunday. The Wolverines cut an 18-point deficit to 3 in the second half, but Kaminsky personally went on a 7-2 run after that, helping Wisconsin regain control. Kaminsky was fantastic yesterday, folks. Now, the Badgers, they committed only 2 turnovers en route to their 4th straight win. Michigan now has a week to prepare for rival Michigan State, whom they host again Sunday at the Chrysler Center. That is a noon tip off. And if you look at it on the contrary, Michigan State, they have a game before that Michigan game as they will take on Purdue this Thursday on the road. Okay, Michigan and MSU and Ohio State, in women's basketball, Annalise Pickrell had 17 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists as number 25 Michigan State rolled onto a 70-49 victory on Saturday over Ohio State. Michigan State closed the first half on a 17-2 run, taking a 42-21 lead into the break and led by double digits by the rest of the way, completely commanded that game throughout its entirety. Becca Mills scored 17 for MSU, and Ariel Powers added 15 points and tied a career high with 5 assists. Now, the Spartans have won 5 of their last 6 games, bouncing back after losing to Nebraska 76-56 last Saturday. Michigan State is 1 game back of number 11 Penn State for the top spot in the conference and hold a half-game lead over Nebraska. The Spartans now hit the road to take on Wisconsin on Thursday. All right, folks, Malik McDowell, yes, you guys know that name. It's a name we've mentioned for now the third week, the third straight week here on Current Sports. Malik McDowell, of course, defensive end for Southfield High, the highly touted recruit in the state of Michigan. McDowell's parents, they said last week that McDowell will be taking visits to Florida State and Ohio State. Now, of course, McDowell verbally committed to come to Michigan State on National Signing Day, but his mom didn't sign the national letter of intent. But now news has come out that McDowell will not visit Florida State and Ohio State. Now, the Southfield defensive end and coveted 2014 recruit told 247sports.com on Sunday that he won't be taking other visits and will be playing for the Spartans. I won't believe it until that national letter of intent comes in, folks. But he also told the recruiting website that his mother is lessening her opposition to MSU. His mom had told the Free Press and others that she is okay with her son going anywhere but MSU. But Malik went on to say yesterday that, quote, she's coming around. There's nothing else I can really say. It's a big relief. Most likely I'm going to be able to go where I want. Well, that's great. I really hope Malik definitely gets to sign that letter. His mom signs the letter and we can just get this thing finalized because, man, I am so sick and tired of talking about it. Okay. The NBA All-Star game, folks. The NBA All-Star weekend was in full effect over the Valentine's Day holiday. Now, in the two of the most anticipated events, the three-point shootout crown was won by San Antonio Spur Marco Bellinelli. And in the dunk contest, the Eastern Conference team of John Wall, Paul George, and Terrence Ross took the crown. And John Wall was voted by the fans as Dunker of the Night. And in the actual All-Star game last night, Kyrie Irving was phenomenal. He had 31 points and 14 assists and was voted the MVP. Carmelo Anthony made a record-high 8 three-pointers and scored 30 points. And the East stopped a three-game losing streak with a 163-155 victory over the West last night in the highest-scoring All-Star game ever. Yes, there was a ton of defense being played last night. No, I highly doubt that. So, all right, Piston trade rumors, folks. Again, the trade deadline is certainly coming up and coming up very, very fast. And there's a lot of rumors. Now, these are just rumors, just kind of putting the ideas out there. These are rumors on what possible moves that the Detroit Pistons could be making. Now, this is Sam Amico from FoxSports.com. He says that, quote, there are some intriguing names to keep an eye on as potential moving parts mentioned to me by league insiders. Now, he mentions the Milwaukee Bucks forward Ersan Ilyasova and guard Gary Neal, Philadelphia 76ers forward Thaddeus Young, and Pistons guard Rodney Stuckey. Yes, you guys know how much I despise Rodney Stuckey's game, and I've always thought that Stuckey should have been traded a long, long time ago, so I'm crossing my fingers for that one, Sam. Also, there are rumors. Now, this is a huge rumor. Okay, guys, you guys know Stephen A. Smith, the First Take on ESPN. He rumored that the owner of the Pistons will go hard after Tom Izzo. Yes, Tom Izzo, possibly coaching the Pistons. Stephen A., I don't think so. Okay, and also this last one, Lionel Hollins on coaching the Pistons. Now, this may be a very valid one because Lionel went on to say on sports radio last week that, quote, I would have an interest if they contacted me, but there has been no contacts at this time. So we'll definitely see how that one turns out. And, of course, this has been, you know, talks on left and right these past few weeks about Greg Monroe possibly being traded for the Pistons. So, of course, the NBA trade deadline is certainly quickly approaching. And, yes, these are rumors, if you will, that could take place very, very soon. Also want to note that the U.S. women's hockey team, big news in the world of Olympic women's ice hockey, Megan Bozek and Brianna Decker each had a goal and two assists, and the Americans outshot Sweden, get this, 70-9. My goodness, to clinch no worse than a silver medal now, 6-1 the final this morning. The U.S. has medaled in every winter game since women's hockey, was added in 1998, and just once, with a loss to Sweden in 2006 semis, failed to reach the championship game. Now, in goal, Jesse Vetter needed just 8 saves for the victory. So congrats to the U.S. women's hockey team. They will be competing now for a gold medal. Gotta love that. Well, it wasn't a great Valentine's weekend filled with love for these two. Baltimore Ravens running back Ray Rice and his fiance were both arrested and charged with simple assault over the weekend after a physical altercation at the Atlantic City Casino. Now, in the report, police said Rice and his fiance struck each other with their hands, but no injuries were reported. Both were released with summons to appear in court, according to police. And this is from Rice's attorney. Quote, "We haven't seen any charging documents yet. There was an argument that included Ray. I can't give any specifics because we haven't seen the document yet." So, that's not great, man. Fighting with your fiance? Come on, Ray. It's Valentine's weekend, man. All right, and this is very interesting news. If Missouri defensive end Michael Sam is drafted in May and becomes the NFL's first openly gay player, he'll walk into a league that seems to be moving closer to acceptance, but is still dealing with growing pains as it does so. Now, this is from ESPN.com's NFL Nation, ESPN the magazine. They combined on an anonymous survey last week off the news of Sam coming out as the first openly gay NFL prospect. Now, get this. 51 players, almost an entire team roster, responded to four true or false questions. Now, although the survey showed that most players aren't concerned with another sexual orientation, it also made clear the concerns that players would have in learning how to relate to an openly gay teammate. Now, 44 players said a teammate's sexual orientation didn't matter to them. 39 said they would be comfortable showering around a gay teammate, but 32 players said they had teammates or coaches who used homophobic slurs last season. And when asked whether an openly gay player would be comfortable in an NFL locker room, just 25 players said yes. 21 said no, while 5 declined to comment. So this is going to be such a game changer because I don't think it's a question of if. I think it's a question of when Michael Sam gets drafted in May and where what round that'll be. I mean, he's such a great, outstanding player. But it's going to be interesting to see how the NFL responds, specifically when it comes to the players, how they respond to having a gay player in the league, especially his teammates. So we'll see how that transpires. All right, well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you can call in at 517-355-9527. Again, that number is 517-355-9527 and share what's on your mind. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. And even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. And folks, again, we're opening up our phone lines this entire hour to talk about MSU basketball as they fell to Nebraska yesterday. And you know what? We were at the game. Current Sports was there. And Tom Izzo, he definitely shouldered the load, if you will. And he blamed himself for the way that MSU came out the gates. Of course, at the top of the hour, I mentioned that they just came out with a lack of urgency, a lack of energy, a lack of focus. And Izzo definitely noticed that, and you better believe that he shouldered the load when it came to that.
You know, we start out the game, and, you know, I'm not blaming one guy or another guy, but, you know, we let Pitchford pop out and just knock a three down. I mean, I can't tell you how much was on the scouting report. One of my smartest players, you know, just. And then same guy, you know, we miss a layup on the other end. We turn the ball over. We think we missed four layups that were dead layups. And but that one was the deadest of layups, and that all happened in the first 2 minutes. And I also talked to him about, you know, when you start having success, you think offense – and everybody wants to change instead of just doing their job. You know, we reverted back to turning the ball over. We played without two key people because we were in foul trouble in that first half. And, you know, those two key people, I don't know how many minutes they were out, but I know Adrian was out with, I think, 8 or 7 minutes left, and I think Trice was longer. And some of that is because you're not ready to move your feet. You're not prepared. You know, it's... there's always tough losses in a season. This is the toughest so far because I was so disappointed in how we came out. But at the other side of it, I'm not upset about the loss because we got exactly what you deserve. They didn't turn the ball over, 5 turnovers. They made some circus shots, at least 4 of them by Petway, 2 in the first half, 2 in the second, one guy's right on him. It was too late then. He was already into his thing. And Pitchford, the same thing. When he hit that first one on the bench, we just said, are you kidding me? You know, after talking about it this much, it wasn't even a pick and pop. It was just a pop out and shoot it. And so we got what we deserve, and the only guy that takes the blame for that is me, because it's my job to get him ready to play, and we didn't look ready to play. And so for that, don't blame them, blame me. They get paid, or they don't get paid. I get paid to do a job. And, you know, they get a chance to do their job. And energy is the biggest thing that you need in these games, and there's been a lot of teams that aren't bringing it. And that's why there's been some bizarre games. And today it was the Spartans that didn't bring it. And yet, let me say this. Nebraska, they were junkyard dogs. They reminded me of some of our old teams. They took it at us. They talked it. They walked it. They played it. I thought they were tough. I thought they played well defensively. I thought they made some incredible shots. I said, beginning of the year, I think Tim's one of the great new coaches in this league, and he did a hell of a job. And be honest with you guys, we'll go through whatever questions you have, but we got what we deserved.
We got what we deserved. That's head coach Tom Izzo addressing the loss to Nebraska yesterday at the Breslin Center, where his team just did not look ready at all. And folks, Izzo addressed the media today as well, of course, with a new week, especially on Mondays. You have the Tom Izzo Monday noon presser. And Izzo just talked about Keith Appling, and for the first time, he addressed the possibility of sitting out guard Keith Appling until the wrist is fully healthy and shutting him down until the postseason starts. He is considering that as a possibility. He said he has no clue on whether Appling will play at Purdue on Thursday. So there's a possibility that you may not see Keith Appling until the madness of March starts. So we'll see and keep you all posted as developments start. Of course, this will be a big practice week to see if that wrist has improved for guard Keith Appling. And you know what, guys? For those that attended the game yesterday, and you may not know, but there was an announcement that Michigan had lost. Of course, Michigan lost to Wisconsin in yesterday's game. Frank Kaminsky, he just lit Michigan up. 25 points, 11 rebounds. 75-62 was the final of that one. Michigan just totally out of the game for most of it. And there was an announcement because that Michigan game ended right before Michigan State tipped off against Nebraska. And it was shown on the scoreboard. And when it was shown, I mean, the crowd just erupted. It erupted in the Breslin Center. The roof came off of the Breslin Center when that moment occurred. And you know what? It seemed to just feel a different vibe in the Breslin, because with a win Michigan over Nebraska, Michigan State could have, you know, handed out the, or, you know, been atop the Big Ten outright if they get the W over Nebraska. And it kind of just set the tone and set the mood before that game. And Tom Izzo was asked after the game on whether or not that announcement that Michigan had lost to Wisconsin, whether or not that had an impact on his players before that game started. And this is what Tom had to say.
Let me see. Would it help how I feel? Sure. No. There's so many games left to play. To me, it had none. I guess I can't answer it for the players, but why? My question would be then, that should give you momentum. Why, last year when they lose that game and Nick says to me 5 minutes into the game, you know, they lost. I mean, I can swallow that, but that just shows you how sick we are sometimes. No insult intended, we. If it worked and you went out 1 by 20, we'd be saying, well, that was a motivational thing. No, that should motivate a team. But a team that's playing where we're playing right now shouldn't need any motivation about anything. They should bear down and know who's a three-point shooter, and the first second he pops out and he makes a wide-open three, you know you're not in the game. Allah, a center snapping at 40 feet over a guy's head. It makes you question right off the bat. And that's where we were tonight. And so like I said, I'm not as mad as you'd think, because I think we deserve what we got. And give them credit. They came in here and punched us in the mouth. We didn't punch back. And that doesn't happen very often. I think there's, you know, a combination of things right now. I mean, I told you, trying to get Keith back. I mean, this is going to not be as easy as most people think, you know. And so it'll be good. Little controversy might bring us a little closer together, and maybe they'll quit listening to the outside world, start listening to the inside world, because we didn't play today. When the guy hits the first shot of the game, and again, I'm going to beat the dead horse and give blame to the people that deserved it, but when he hits the first shot of the game, now when he's ball screening, he's picking and popping, you're responding differently. That was part of it. The second part is, you know, when you have a healthy Keith Appling, he's one of the best defenders in this league, and a healthy Brandon Dawson is the second best defender on our team. Gary Harris is somewhere in there as the second or third, whatever. And, you know, two of those guys were missing in action, of course, and we're not as good defensively without them. So now we're trying to do things and trying to step up, and then we tried to switch some, and, you know, you do got to give Pettaway some credit. I mean, Adrian switched out, 6'10", is decently on him. He hits two fall-away shots. I mean, it was their night. But their night started at the beginning. Don't think it started at the end. It started at the beginning. And that's what I'm most disappointed, that I couldn't get through to my team. And it did.
Yes, and again, referring to Keith Appling, guard Keith Appling, Tom Izzo addressed the media today, and he brought up the possibility to consider shutting Keith Appling down until the postseason begins if his wrist does not improve. Again, you guys watched the game yesterday. Keith Appling did play. He played a few minutes. It's not too effective. I mean, he played sparingly here and there. Played 19 minutes. He was 1-for-2. Had 2 points, but you know, there were some times where you looked at Keith Appling and you know, he even tried a three-pointer from the corner and airballed the three-pointer, a clear indication that that wrist is certainly not 100%. So Tom is considering, if the wrist does not improve, on shutting down Keith Appling until the postseason starts. And of course, Tom just talked about Pettaway, who was great. Pettaway and Pitchford, Walter Pitchford, Pitchford had 18 points. Pettaway had 23 points. Pettaway started off the game with a three. I mean, he was hot most of the game and hit some very, very tough shots. And, you know, a game like that, and this team constantly fighting to get 100% healthy, it's got to be frustrating for Tom Izzo.
They're frustrated. You know, they don't get to practice with each other. They don't have a feel for each other. We add new guys in. AP is frustrated. Yeah. You know, and that's what happens when you don't play together. But they still get along well. All those things are good. Those are frustration things. And they just better get back to realizing you play hard, a lot of good things happen, and you play smart. And if you don't play hard and smart, you don't follow the scouting report and let a team get going, they can get going, and they did. And so, were they frustrated? Not as frustrated as I was, but they were probably frustrated some. Yeah. Been tough on them too, not just me.
So there you have that. All right, well, again, we're opening up our phone lines this entire show. If you want to call in and give your thoughts and your analysis on last night's game or anything else, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. We're going to take a quick break, come back, dissect the game a little bit more, to also talk about Michigan, Wisconsin, and the fantastic All-Star Weekend. I always love talking about that. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec.
strange day.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is Monday, guys. Power through. I know it's Monday. We all kind of had that lag as the work week starts. It's back to business. And you know what? Happy President's Day as well. There are many kids probably sitting at home listening to Current Sports because you have the day off. Yes, many schools are off today due to President's Day. Hope you're having a fantastic day out there, folks. Again, we're talking some MSU and Nebraska and also Michigan. They lost to Wisconsin yesterday. I guess Michigan teams, they just don't like red and white, man, because both teams in the red and white handed L's to the teams in Michigan. Alex Sharg now joins me. Alex, MSU and Nebraska. You know, looking at that game, and I kind of talked about it at the top of the hour when we had a caller, Justin, called in. MSU just really, and it really put so many question marks in my head for this team, because to solve the problem, when you talk about the offensive consistency that I saw that entire game, that many saw that entire game, they struggled to shoot the ball, rebound, find an offensive flow, but when they found success offensively, it was when they put the ball on the ground and went to the hole. We saw it a few times from Gary Harris. Saw Denzel Valentine get to the lane a few times. And when they did, they went to the line and shot free throws. And they shot very, very well from the free throw line. They were 12 of 14 from the free throw line. I just saw too many shots being jacked up. Guys just coming down. It looked like they were just in desperation mode when they found out that, man, nothing's working here. Let's see if we can shoot our way out of it. And that's exactly what they tried to do. That was not a recipe for success at all. And I always go back. I mean, I had a flashback watching that game yesterday, a flashback to last season watching this men's basketball team. And there were many games last season where MSU would start games and they just did not seem to be there mentally. They didn't run their plays right. I mean, guys were, they just seemed sluggish to a degree. And I saw that last night. I'm sure many people saw that last night. And Tom Izzo saw it. I mean, anybody could see. I mean, Stevie Wonder could see that last night. And Tom Izzo took the blame for that, on not having his team ready to start that game. And it's something that I don't think will be a consistent area of concern for this team, because honestly, when you talk about the area of focus and how Michigan State starts basketball games, it really has not been a big concern this season, which really surprised me yesterday. Now, also, something also I want to bring up. Gary Harris, if you remember, you know, a few games ago, Tom Izzo came out, and this is before Gary Harris, because Gary Harris lately has been really, really struggling. Struggling to find his shot, struggling just to find that groove that we saw that's been so impressive earlier this season. He's struggling to shoot the ball. He's struggling in many, many areas offensively. And I always go back to that quote when Tom said, we need Gary Harris to be the guy to take over games, to be that guy to, you know, you can give him the ball and you can rely on him to completely change a game. Looking at these past few games, these past two to three games, four games, Gary Harris, to me, and going back to that statement, now I did go on record on the show and saying I think Gary Harris could be that guy. That's when he was on a roll. But looking at his struggles and how consistent those have been these past few games, I'm starting to question if Gary Harris is that guy that can take over a game. And I think if Gary Harris, when he does go to the NBA, we all know he's going to the NBA, I think Gary Harris is going to be a guy who plays solid defense, who can get you that spot-up three-pointer that you need, can occasionally get to the basket. But being a game-changer to just take over a game, I don't know about that. I don't know. What are your thoughts on the game, and what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, first of all, happy Monday, Al. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday,
fresh
man.
Off Al's All-Star Weekend. I'm sure you'll have a lot to say on that.
Yeah.
And the new format, which you were all for. I was a little bit antsy about it, and I think that I was a little bit right with that.
We'll talk about it.
Second, a lot of topics to hit on here. With the Gary Harris thing, my take on this, Al, isn't the fact that, yes, you did go on record to say that he is the guy to take over games, because that's what Izzo said. But when you think about it, at the end of the game, when Gary Harris started to drive more than shoot, he was producing more. And not only driving more, not only do they score more, but that opens up the three-point shot up top. Because I love what Justin Rose came in and said about how getting down low to Payne taking it into the hole opens up the three up top. And when you look at most of the threes that they've hit, it's because of Appling penetration and Harris penetration and kicking out to Kaminsky on the wing and kicking out to Valentine, who can sometimes hit the three. So for me, yeah, I agree with you in the way that the driving is needed, but I don't think it needs to be Gary Harris controlling. Because the way Adrian Payne's been playing, Al, they can produce a lot with Adrian Payne, and they've won a lot of games because of Adrian Payne. Look at the game that went, I think it was against, was it Wisconsin, the one that they were away,
and he just
Adrian
completes
Payne
it over.
Hit the game-winning
yeah.
three.
Yeah.
yeah.
So, well, he hit the game-tying three.
Yeah, the game-tying three. Yeah. So it shows that no one else, besides Gary Harris, there are other people on this team that can score. Well, at the beginning of the year, I think the biggest key is Brandon Dawson, because with him out, he's a bigger defender. He was the X factor to start the year. That, for me, is the game breaker. Not Gary Harris taking over the game, but I think it's just the injury bug. They've dropped four of the last seven. It's a little bit of a funk. I wouldn't rule it out quite yet.
Well, I just wanted to bring up that because nothing, no area of the game helped MSU to get in sort of any type of offensive flow. And when that has happened this season, Gary Harris, especially at the beginning of the season, has been that guy you go to, and he produced. He produced. But now I think, another point, when we talk about Michigan, I feel as though the scouting reports are becoming better on Gary Harris. Guys are keying in him more, on him more. And a guy who can take over a game, in my opinion, he's going to find a way to score. And Gary Harris is in a slump right now. Do I think he will get out of that groove? I think this Purdue game is a great game for him to get out of that groove because he's had success against Purdue. If you look at the earlier season, he went off against Purdue. So if any rebound game needs to come at a great time, it's this time, this Thursday, against a team he has had success against. Gary Harris, though, I don't think he's that. I'm just saying, I don't know if he's that takeover type of guy that Tom Izzo alluded to at the beginning of the season. Now, as far as the success of this team offensively, I thought last night was just a clear – they just looked out of it to me. I mean, focus. I keep going on the word focus. They just didn't seem ready to play, period. And that was the downfall at the very beginning of that game. And then, of course, you got to tip your hat off to Petway and Pitchford. Petway hit some shots where you just throw up your hands and say, oh, nothing I can do there. I had a hand in the man's face. And it was just unbelievable. He put on the show. Pitchford was also great. And, you know, Nebraska, this is the thing. When you play solid basketball like this, you have a greater chance at winning. It's not rocket science. This isn't chemistry. This isn't algebra here. Nebraska only had five turnovers. Five turnovers throughout this entire game. So even though they didn't shoot, other than Petway and Pitchford, even though they didn't shoot outstanding, they were efficient at getting shots up and not wasting opportunities when they had the ball, which also alludes to great things. Again, the X factors that we always talk about, Denzel Valentine and Travis Trice, those two combine 3 for 14. So when your role players on the team aren't producing, along with the guys who are supposedly on a regular consistent basis producing, like a Adrian Payne and a Gary Harris, guys who normally get you buckets, if they're not producing, the role players have to step up and shoulder some of that load. They couldn't even shoulder that load. Again, 3 for 14, only 2 assists for those two guys. And Travis Trice, a guy who has gone 3 straight games without a turnover, he combined with Valentine for 5 of them. So that streak is now gone. So I do think they will get it together, but there were some alarming signs. And another point of concern before we get to our caller just now, with all the injuries, Alex, that this MSU team has had throughout the season, they have not been 100% since they started the year. Another point of concern that does put a red flag out there for me is that when this team does get healthy, when they are 100% possibly when tournament time starts, what concerns me is that these guys that are 100% when tournament starts have not played enough in game time situations with each other, maybe 1 or 2 games together, that will they be able to, how well will they gel once they are 100%? Because even though you are 100%, you're healthy, there's other factors that have to go beyond that in order for a team to be successful. If the team is not 100% healthy and guys are constantly on the bench, constantly playing with those guys and not those guys being absent, that kind of disrupts the chemistry. So even though they will be 100%, how will the chemistry be once they get out on the court with each other? That's another point of concern for me. We have a caller right now. How you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Thank you very much. I just want to say two things before I ask you a question about the game. I just want to tell you about Angelo Henderson in Detroit, and I'm sorry that he passed. And also, my high school up in Saginaw is back open again. Hear what I want to talk.
Nice.
They're not going to close it. They're not going to. What I want to talk to you about is the Michigan State game. The reason why I want to talk about it is it's like they're still in first place. And when we still melting down over, they're going to lose games every now and then. But I figure that by the end of the season, everybody should be just fine. The only player I'm really worried about is Appling, because it seems like his shot is off and his wrist injury is really lingering. And I don't know if he get enough rest and he heals up properly that he'll be ready to go to play during the tournament season.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
I really do. And I really, what I like about the team there is all the bad basketball and all the experience that the bench is getting. Now, when it comes around the tournament time, hopefully by then that they know what to do in certain situations and everything. So the only time I really worried about they still in first place is Tom Izzo. Is really Tom Izzo going to get through the season without the so much stress on him that he has to take a break or what? Take it off there. Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate it. Yes, and thank you for bringing up Angelo Henderson. Yeah, Angelo Henderson is – I actually got a text last night from my uncle. Angelo Henderson, if you don't know, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. He died at 51. He was well-known in the Detroit area, also an associate minister in Detroit. He passed away at 51 yesterday, so – thoughts and condolences out to the Henderson family. Thanks a lot, Mike, for bringing that up. And yes, I mean that is a concern right now. I mean, when we saw that corner three that Keith Appling took, I mean, complete air ball. He shoots with his right hand. It's that wrist is bothering Keith Appling, and shutting him down until the tournament starts. I wouldn't be surprised if the MSU men's basketball team did that, because Appling is the guy. He's the guard. He is the primary guard that you run your offense through. He's the quarterback out there. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, and it definitely will be a point of concern, though. I mean, just how well this team plays after not being 100% for so long, and suddenly they hopefully are 100% healthy when tournament starts. How well they gel? That's my biggest concern with anything. Alex, of course, Michigan State, they had a huge opportunity last night. Michigan falls to Wisconsin, and Michigan State has a chance to take the outright Big Ten lead. It's so surprising, though, because, I mean, this has happened before where Michigan's had that opportunity as well and has fumbled it. And if you look at Michigan last night against Wisconsin, Frank Kaminsky and Sam Decker were unstoppable down low. That was the key of the game for me. And, you know, I've always said that Michigan, they just have no inside presence. Inside, they don't know what inside presence means because they have no one down there except Jordan Morgan, who is an average at best player. I'm not too high on Jordan Morgan. But if you look at Nick Stauskas, his struggles these past few games, again, I think guys are now keying in on Nick Stauskas and forcing other guys to beat you on that Michigan team. Nick Stauskas and Glenn Robinson III, they combined for only 21 points. Nick Stauskas is a guy who is a part of the top 30 guys for National Player of the Year now. And he has been really lighting it up, lighting it up this season. But these past few games, he has not been great. Guys are honing in on him. And if you go back to Iowa, I mean, they said that before that game when they beat Michigan, that they were keying in on Nick Stauskas and ready to shut him down. Caris LeVert, I've always said, Mr. Consistency for the maize and blue. Caris LeVert was great last night. Carried the team on his back when they needed scoring. He hit shots from the outside in. I mean, he was great. But let's be honest here. Michigan was really doomed from the start. 12-2 run for Wisconsin to start that game. And get this. At halftime, this is a team that, this is what Michigan does. They're known for passing the ball around. They're a shooting team. They had no assist at halftime. Zero. A huge donut. And finished with 5 assists to finish the game. That's it right there. You can't win like that. Period. Point blank, period. And I really think that Michigan now, this is good for them, though. They get a week to prepare for the green and white at their home next week, Sunday. They get a full week while Michigan State has to play a game in between that. They have to prepare for Purdue. But if they needed a break to get their mind right and reevaluate some things, this is the perfect week to do it and to chalk up a loss and say, hey, we need to reevaluate some things before playing their rival Michigan State. But, yeah, I think guys are really keying in on Nick Stauskas and chopping the head off of the snake and the body's dying with it.
Yeah. The Michigan-Wisconsin game, two turnovers the entire game for Wisconsin, only two. I mean, they played very well, passing the ball around. They shot 45% from the field. This was a Wisconsin team that came ready to play. So as much as Michigan, yeah, they don't have anyone down low, also keep in mind, John Horford had four fouls. He had to sit out. So,
I'm not big on John Horford either.
You're not?
Oh, no. John Horford is so inconsistent sometimes, man. I mean, he comes, and granted, he was battled tore his ACL when he first got to Michigan. But when he's in there, he's another guy I say is a garbage man. I mean, he gets those gritty rebounds. He can get you a few post moves here and there. But he's not a guy who's going to light up the scoreboard. He's not a guy that's going to block shots left and right and get steals left and right and be this defensive presence down low.
But he rebounds. But he does rebound.
Yeah, I mean, he's Michigan's Matt Costello. He's Michigan's Matt Costello over there. You know what I mean? So, right. But when you look at it, though, I mean, again, down low, they got exploited, though. Kaminsky went off. I mean, him and Sam Decker, they could do whatever they want alone, just by himself. Kaminsky went on a 7-2 run by himself. Nobody else scored. Him and down low, when they needed buckets, Frank Kaminsky, was great. Unbelievable. So, I don't know. Michigan, it's going to be a good game. I think Michigan State, though, could really run away with that game on Sunday.
Oh, no, they could. They could. And what I'm going to be looking forward to most in this game, Al, is with Keith Appling, he has a week now. He played a little bit last game. Will he be fully healthy? I mean, yeah, he's back, but it was his first game, and I feel like he's just getting the rust off. I feel like he's going to be the difference maker.
Well, I heard at the press conference, I'm looking at Twitter, that Tom Izzo might shut him down until the postseason starts, if the wrist doesn't get better. If it does improve, you could see him get a few minutes here and there, but I'm looking on Twitter right now, and his report's coming out. You were at the presser. He alluded to it that he would consider shutting Keith Appling down until March Madness starts.
It might have been in the round table. It might have been in the round table.
Okay. Well, there you go. So, all right. Well, let's hit the break really quick. When we come back, we'll talk a little NBA All-Star. Again, our phone lines are open this entire hour. If you want to call in, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We will be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, this past weekend was not only the weekend of love on Valentine's Day. And by the way, Alex, hope you had a good Valentine's Day, man. Chilled out.
It was a nice Valentine's Day.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah, where'd you end up going?
Man, if you need to go to a spot, man, and you're just looking for a nice little date or a hangout spot, Cliff Bells in Detroit. It's a jazz bar. I don't know if you're into jazz, but it's a jazz bar, real classy joint. Man, top quality joint. I love jazz, live jazz especially. They had a live jazz band there. The food, bueno. I loved it. I had a good time. It was a good weekend, though, man. But, yeah, NBA All-Star Weekend also took place, the All-Star Game. It culminated with the All-Star Game.
You had to make some time for that with
Valentine's Day. Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I recorded the rookie sophomore game, the celebrity game. I recorded every event that took place this weekend and went back and watched it. It was great because I got to fast forward the commercials, didn't have to sit there an entire 2 hours, especially. Really quickly, let's talk about the All-Star Saturday.
Now, were you pleased? Were you pleased?
I was disappointed, as I usually am after All-Star Saturday goes off.
And the format and the dunk contest?
No, I was happy with the format. I thought the format, you know, Kenny DeJet Smith, one of the announcers for NBA on TNT, when it started, he said it in a way that was, I definitely liked the way he said it. He said this. He said, you know, the format, especially when you look at the battle rounds for the dunk contest, I mean, it was kind of like just being on the street ball court and two guys just going at it dunk for dunk. Because, I mean, that's what guys used to do, especially when I was in high school. We would go to the local street ball court. I had one right across the street from me. I mean, and there were guys, I mean, like I said, I grew up in an area where Manny Corporal Harris came from. And there were guys that could just slam it. Very athletic guys. And that's how they would do it. We'd have like mini dunk contests. I couldn't dunk, of course. I was just sitting there watching. And guys would just, all right, You go first. He would dunk, and let's see if I can match you. It was a freestyle battle type of thing, and it kind of felt like that. The mood was like that. I mean, when you had the East versus West, you know, you would have Paul George would go up and dunk, and then his competitor would go up and dunk, and they would judge that dunk and then go to the judges, and they would talk about it. I thought the format was really cool and different. Even the three-point contest format was pretty cool. If you look at it, they had one entire rack that had money balls, and in the final round, you could pick where you wanted that rack to be. That was different, never been done before in the dunk contest. It really added a different flavor and a different dynamic to the dunk contest. But overall, Alex, the dunks I had seen before left and right, I was very disappointed in the dunks that were shown. I mean, between the legs, seeing it, been there, done that. Jumping over a chair, seeing it. I mean, one of the players dunked over Shaq. We've seen it before, and I was looking to see something new and different. And it just dropped the ball, which I figured it would.
And Shaq was sitting down, too, in the throw.
Yeah, sitting down. It was a nice dunk. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he got a lot of air on it. You know, he spread the legs, you know, got the ball real high in the air. His head was at the rim. I forget what dunker it was, but it was a really nice dunk, really nice looking dunk. But the thing is, you know, when you see the dunk contest, you want to see something that will make you, you know, wake up Sunday morning, go on YouTube, and you want to watch it over and over because you've never seen it before. Nowadays, I feel like so many dunks have been done. We've seen just about everything. It's hard for those competitors to do it, just to do something different. And, you know, it was kind of just lackluster for me. Did you like it? I don't know. What did you think of the dunks?
And by the way, the between the legs, it was a 360 between the legs. So don't get that wrong.
No, I saw Terrence Ross had one was just straight up between the legs. I don't remember the 360.
I think there was one. I think Paul George did one where it was like.
I didn't see the 360 between. But we've seen that before. I mean, I've seen Jason Richardson. If you remember back in 2003 or 2004, remember when he bounced it off the glass and went between the legs? That had never. I remember watching that dunk with my dad and going crazy because I had never seen anything like that before. But I've seen a 360 between the legs. You know what I mean? It's like, show me something different. But it's hard because so many dunks have been done. It wasn't that great for me. I didn't enjoy it like that. I don't know. Yeah. I enjoyed the game more.
Right. Well, I just thought, you know, everyone was going crazy about John Wall's kind of, it was a clutch backwards dunk. Do you remember
that? Oh, that was nice too. Yeah, when he had the Wizards mascot hold up the ball and he grabbed it and went down and pumped it once and then came up. Oh, that was nice.
That was nice. But for me, they were all going crazy. People were saying that was the best dunk of the night.
Yeah.
For me, if you compare that dunk to off the backboard between the legs, Dwight Howard putting his face on the backboard, that dunk does not even compare to some of the past dunks.
I totally agree with you.
Not even and I'm looking over social media and people are like, wow, John Wall just took it to another level.
No,
they were overhyping it.
Way overhyping it.
Yeah.
You were seeing that on Twitter? Oh, those people need to be tested.
The announcers were
saying
on TV,
something.
Wow, that's another level. No, it's not.
And you know what? And then you had Magic Johnson, who was there, and Dominique Wilkins and Dr. J, who were the judges. And when that dunk happened, they went to the judges, and Magic's like, yeah, John Wall just brought the dunk contest back, baby. I'm sitting there like, what? That dunk really had that much impressed you? Maybe it was better when you were live there, but watching that dunk on TV, man, I'd rather watch grass grow. I mean, come on, man. I didn't enjoy it, but
right.
The 3-point contest was very entertaining, though.
Yeah,
that, if anything, was very entertaining. Yeah. You had Marco Bellinelli going against
airballing.
Oh, yeah, but you know Bellinelli, he came up clutch in that last round.
That's why it's amazing.
He cleaned the money rack. I mean, he had the highest. He finished with like the highest score out of the entire competitors who competed in that event. I mean, it was unbelievable. Marco Bellinelli. I mean, he's got a smooth stroke. I chose Steph Curry, who I think could go down as the greatest shooter of all time. But he dropped the ball on that. I don't know. Steph Curry is a game shooter, baby. That's what that is. But, I mean, overall, though, I mean, as far as the game goes, we all know how All-Star games go. No defense, just get out the way. Dunks left and right. I mean, Blake Griffin, who was outstanding yesterday, his first 8 field goal attempts were slam dunks. I mean, they're not tough shots, you know what I mean? That's how the All-Star game goes. Kyrie Irving was great, but it was just great seeing superstars do what they do. And I mean, they're so freakishly athletic. I mean, it's entertaining to watch that aspect of it. And it was pretty cool. You know, the halftime show I thought was really well. Janelle Monáe, who I'm a huge fan of.
Janelle.
You had Earth, Wind, and Fire coming out. Oh, the halftime show was probably better than the game. I mean, it was a good time. But yeah, if anything, though, to capitalize all this thing, I like the game better than All-Star Saturday. It's kind of losing its fervor. You know, I used to get excited about All-Star Weekend. Now it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, overall, yeah, I agree. The 3-point contest was great. Very rare to see Damian Lillard compete in the 3-point and the skills.
And
that
skills.
That was cool
and
to watch.
And the dunk contest.
Yeah. So, That was cool. That was very cool to watch.
Yeah, it was.
Love that. And lastly, just to cap it off, Al, the new format you like, but it loses the impact of the first dunk and then waiting. There's nothing about waiting for the next dunk and then it's the one big dunk. For me, the freestyle, it just took away because I'm used to doing, oh, cool, all right.
So you like the waiting?
I like the waiting because there's not going to be a buildup. You're not going to have as cool of a dunk as you would in comparison to freestyle.
So you like the waiting after the guy misses the dunk. I don't like the waiting,
think about it, when you freestyle, you can't do an amazing dunk during that freestyle because it has to be so quick and there's a time difference to it.
Well, yeah, you can. You got 90 seconds, though. I mean, I like the freestyle because it was like, you know, in the layup line, just guys just slamming it through. I mean, I like it because it was high energy.
It was more routine.
The thing I don't like, and we saw a little, it wasn't completely eradicated, the waiting, because we saw, especially in the battle round, you had to make your dunk in order for the dunk to be complete. We still saw a lot of waiting, and this is the thing I don't like about waiting. After a guy, especially after that first attempt, if he does not put it down, it's like, okay, I know what that dunk is. And if he keeps missing, it's like, all right, dude, come on. Okay, oh, he misses it again. Okay, now he has to go set up again. That's what I hate. I mean, if he gets it on the first try, great. And sometimes seeing what he's going to do if he misses it, it's like you just blew the surprise and you didn't put it down. So that's why I hate the waiting. I don't know. All right, well, we got 3 minutes left. We got some pick'ems for this week. I'm not sure what the standings are. We'll update you guys on that tomorrow.
I believe I was winning because I got the point spread right for Michigan.
You did. You might and, have yeah. the lead. You might have. It may be a battle right now. I have to definitely do the recalculations after the show, and we'll announce it tomorrow on tomorrow's show. But really quickly, some NBA basketball. Charlotte at Detroit on Tuesday. Who you got?
I don't know about the Pistons, man. Well, I think.
Yeah.
What did you think of Andre Drummond's performance?
Oh, shout out to Andre Drummond. Thank you for bringing him up. He won the MVP of the rookie sophomore game, which that took place on Friday night. Friday. Andre Drummond was great. I mean, he had 25 rebounds, set a record. Did you see when he got the trophy and he dropped it? Well, the guy who presented him the trophy dropped the trophy and he had to pick it back up. Hilarious moment. Shout out to Andre Drummond. No, he's a beast, man. I'm going with Detroit in that game.
Yeah, I'll go with Detroit.
All right, Detroit at Charlotte. So they play two games. So they play tomorrow and they also play the Bobcats on Wednesday as well. So it's a doubleheader. I'm going with Detroit in both of those games.
All right, I'm
going
to go 1-1. Win the 1-1. First, lose the second.
Gotcha. Atlanta at Detroit on Friday.
I'll say Atlanta. Atlanta's hot.
I'm going with Atlanta, too. Yeah, I'm going with Atlanta in that game, too, on Friday. Okay. Also, NCAA men's basketball, Duke at North Carolina on Thursday. Who are you going with?
Ooh, that's a big one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with the Dukies.
I'm going with Duke, too. I like Jabari Parker. All right, and I got to keep Hills with you, too. All right, Michigan State at Purdue on Thursday.
I say that they bounce back with this one.
I think they do, too. Michigan State, score, spread.
I'll say by 8.
By 8. You're going with Michigan State by 8. I'm going with Michigan State by 12. Syracuse at Duke on Saturday.
Ooh, a lot of Dukey games.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Cuse in this one. I think Cuse.
You going with the Cuse in that one?
I like them this year. They're very different from last year.
Did you see the Tyler Ennis buzzer beater?
Yeah.
Oh my good. All they do is win. All they do is win, baby. Syracuse. I'm going with Syracuse in that one too. I think they still stay undefeated. They are so good, man. And Michigan State at Michigan on Sunday.
I think that Michigan is going to win.
Really? Yes. What's the spread on that? Really?
Yep.
Wow. Yep. That's okay. What's the score going to be?
I think
Michigan by what?
From what you told me on Twitter, I'm going to say Michigan State because if Keith Appling's sitting, I'm going to say Michigan. Excuse me.
I was about to say.
If Keith Appling's sitting, Michigan.
Michigan by what?
I say Michigan by 7.
Wow. I'm going MSU by 11. Wow. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Okay. Well, thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. Thanks to Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKR, Aaron Young for engineering, Matt Lutke, Aaron Alex Shard, our fantastic production assistants. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin on WKR East Lansing. As always, take care, have one fantastic Monday, and be easy, people.